back. This is Jacqueline Taieb from about 30 years ago. It's called 7 AM.
See if you can spot the connection with the Beatles.
It's 7 in the morning. I just gotta get up. Oh, I'm so tired. Well, let's put some music on. It will get me going. Don't know, something like talking about my generation. Can't find my toothbrush. Where on earth can it be? The red one is my father's. The blue one is my mother's. The yellow one is my brother's. Mine must have gone with the wind. It's Monday, isn't it? Oh, I have an English exam today. I wish I had Paul McCartney to help me.
That was the connection there. Paul McCartney, and what was his connection with the Beatles, Stu?
He was in the Beatles, Rich.
That's correct, well done.
I feel like playing a record just to annoy the neighbours who are always complaining. What about a good Elvis Presley? Oh, but the only thing he can say is a
sexy when French people talk with English accents, isn't it? It must make it really hard to concentrate in their language lessons.
And off I go. Over, I know. I'm feeling better, almost on my way. Which sweater shall I wear today? Which sweater shall I wear today? The blue one? The red one?
Hey! It's 9.33.
That's 21.33 if you work on the 24-hour clock, which I can see. Remember, you can ring us on 0500 110 100 or write to us at room 1006, Broadcasting House, London, etc. Yeah. Boring
arse. That's right, yeah.
And that will get there if you put that on there.
Our next guests make their living from impersonating the Beatles and doing exact copies of their music. That's right, it's Oasis. No, not really. It's, will you please welcome the cover band, the Bootleg Beatles.
We aren't actually the Bootleg Beatles.
Who are you then?
We are the Bootleg Beatles.
What?
No, we aren't a tribute band to the Beatles. We're a tribute band to the Bootleg Beatles, who are, of course, a tribute band to the Beatles.
You're a tribute band to a tribute... I don't understand.
Right. Well, what is it, Stuart, right? I saw the Bootleg Beatles, right, at Glastonbury this year.
Yeah.
And I realised that I am the spit and image of the bloke who is supposed to be George Harrison.
You don't look anything like George Harrison.
No, you weren't listening, man. I look like the bloke in the Bootleg Beatles who is supposed to be George Harrison.
Right.
He doesn't vaguely resemble George. I looked at my mate Ian and I thought, wow.
Well, yeah, that's right. If I turn to the side, I slightly resemble the bloke in the Bootleg Beatles who's meant to be Paul McCartney. You know, the one who looks like Paul McCartney would do if he had a shrunken, wrinkled, old gonk face.
Oh, so I know, yeah.
I look a bit like him. Look, if you look, the bootleg one, I mean, not the real one. Look, there. Look at him here.
They needed someone to be the Bootleg John.
I don't look
like him or John Lennon either, but they said I could face the other way and no one would know. And I suggested my wife here to be the Bootleg Ringo.
Yes, I mean, I am a woman, I look nothing like either the real Ringo Starr or the completely different looking bootleg Ringo. But they thought that because I'm right at the back behind the drums, no one would notice.
Well, exactly.
And I say, you know, together, on the whole, we've managed to recreate the exact Bootleg Beatles set and do some very good impressions of their ever so slightly wrong impressions of the Beatles.
How'd you go about sounding like the Bootleg Beatles?
Well, a lot of work, Stuart. We spend months rehearsing the Beatles songs spot on,
as the Beatles did them, right?
And then before we go on, we take loads of tranquilizers and aging drugs and we punch each other in the face until we're unconscious. So that we'll sound like the Bootleg Beatles, a bit sort of slow and dull.
It's absolutely fascinating. That's fantastic.
So, what have you been up to this week anyway, Stuart? Thanks for the Bootleg Beatles.
Do you want to steal one of our songs?
I don't think it's time.
She loves you.
What I've been doing this week, I've prepared an audio reconstruction of one of the events from my life this week.
Yeah.
I went to Highgate Cemetery to visit the grave of the founder of communism, Karl Marx.
Mm. Wow, here I am looking at the actual grave of Karl Marx, and how ironic it is to see this massive 20-foot-high monument paid for by the British Communist Party years back. Think about how when it was put up, people still People still had some kind of faith and respect in communist ideas.
Hang on, listen, right?
And then they had respect. They had respect for communist ideas then, but now all that's fallen away and it's been shown to be unworkable.
Mister, what? Do you want to see where Karl Marx was really buried?
What do you mean, really buried?
We know where Karl Marx was really buried.
Yeah, before the British Communist Party tried to have him moved to a better, bigger grave.
We'll show you. Yeah, if you'll give us some facts.
Some facts, right, here you are.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's through here, isn't it?
Oh, wow, this is another amazing thing to see. It's the original grave of Karl Marx, a family grave, all crumbling and worn away, all the writings coming off it. And you can look at this and think about how he started off in obscurity, enjoyed this brief period of respect and credibility, and then it all just fell apart again.
Do you want to buy some porn mags?
Huh? Yeah, because we're keeping hidden in a crack in the grave, isn't it?
Porn mags? Hang on a minute, lads. Yeah. Right. Don't you think it's a bit of an offensive and ironic metaphor for the collapse of the communist system that you, some young 7-year-old little boys, you know, trying to sell me exploitative capitalist pornography from out of a crack in the very grave of the founder of the whole communist system itself?
No. Anyway, your metaphor is flawed. And will remain so until such time as there is a readily available pornographic literature that degrades and exploits men as well as women.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, it is £10, right? Fancy, say, 3 rounds of the biscuit game.
Yeah! That's a very interesting time you've had.
Thanks
this
very much.
We've got another call about the royal family. It's Howard. How are you doing, Howard?
I'm fine.
What do you think we should replace the royal family with?
A hole puncher.
Yeah.
A bar of soap.
Yeah.
A famous pantomime star, Frank Bruno.
Yeah.
And the decaying body of Rudolf Valentino.
You've thought very hard about it. You'll get extra marks for working it out like that. Yeah. We'll let you know, Howard, at the end of the show, if you've won that. And, of course, remember, if your claim is successful, we will have that instituted officially.
That's right.
That will become the new royal family, so hopefully it will.
Goodbye.
And we've got Peter back. Welcome back, Pete. And welcome back to Pete's colleague, the man who stands around Balham Tube Station drinking medicine and laughing his head off.
My legs are wasps.
Yes.
Hello, anyway. Earlier this week, I realised I hadn't applied for a job since 1981, mainly because the man in the interview tried to get me to sit on his lap and say his name in a lady's voice. And he had, like, old crumbs on his face and everything, so I didn't go for the job.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, as I'm now 32 and it's been about 14 years since I actually had a job, I've decided to retire. And the good thing about this is that an unemployed 32-year-old Welshman from Balham and old retired people do a lot of the same things, such as, like, stinking, having no money, or looking forward to tomorrow's episode of Tim Vine's Housemates.
Oh, yeah.
So the transition isn't that difficult.
It's a good show.
If you fancy taking early retirement from the dole, here's how to go about it.
I got the hat made out of plague.
Yes, thank you. Yes, nice man. Anyway, first of all, there's all the fun of your retirement party. To have this, just turn up at the dole office as normal, sign on, and then take out the sort of gold carriage clock that you've made by getting the old speedometer you found in a gutter and standing it up inside one of those boxes with cellophane windows that you get Easter eggs in. Then give it to the lady behind the window and ask her to hand it back to you and say, thank you for all your years of service. Then you just sort of stand around for a bit in the dole office, drinking a can of beer and saying goodbye to people. Which is quite a lot of people do anyway there, anyway. Then you go home, and when your dole check arrives, just imagine it's your pension. Anyway.
Christ's knees.
Yes. Anyway, here's a couple of the things that you might like to do to fill up your 50 or so twilight years.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, give yourself grey hair by getting the grey tights you found on Bedford Hill, just by where those ladies stand who charge men to touch them on the winky, and stretch the tights over your head to give you, like, grey hair. Then stand on an old jigsaw, a broken lamp without a shade, a single, and a greatest dad in the world mug in the window of your bedsit. And that's like a cancer research shop. And you just sort of sit in there, imagining you work in there.
That's good.
Just like the one in Balham High Road, where they've got an old lady that's got a face like Jules Holland.
Yeah, absolutely. She does exist.
Yes. Number two, get a packet of those bright pink wafers that old ladies always have. Put them in a cupboard. Then if you have a visitor, offer some of the biscuits on a plate with your hand shaking so the biscuits bounce around a bit and make a noise.
That's some of my medicine.
Thank you, yes. What you do is you hand your friend some a plate with the biscuits on, so, and your hand shakes so they bounce around a bit and make a noise. And then you give the person a doll in a fading blue box that you bought in the Everything a Pound shop. Number three, make a set of pretend dentures from a piece of PK chewing gum and blue tack and put them in a glass by the side of your bed. Then finally, Number four, get your brother Charlie to remind you about things that never happened. Like, he has to say things like, do you remember that time we went to space? Or do you remember when that huge bean came in the room? And you can't remember, and you imagine that's because your memory's gone, because you're so old.
Right, is that it, Pete? That's a very good
yes.
thing. So, presumably, if you're retiring...
Yes.
Does that mean you're not coming in for next week's show? Because this is sort of... I know we don't pay you, but it is a job. You're not coming in?
Well, I was hoping to, but...
Well, you're not retired, then, are you?
Never mind, you've been sacked. Remember, it is Beatle Week here on the Lee and Herring Show, and what we're going to play now is a previously unreleased track by the Beatles from 1964, and you'll be able to see why it was unreleased. It's a cover of Little Willie Johnson's Leave My Kitten Alone. You love kittens, that John Lennon.
Oh, yes.
Concerns change from the protection of kittens to a more global concern for the welfare of the whole human race, isn't it?
Well, you have to remember, so at the time he sang this song, John Lennon had just bought a kitten.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul McCartney kept on teasing, you know, pulling its tail, pretending it had bits of food for him, just and then throwing away, kicking him and stuff.
Wicked, Paul McCartney.
It was an awful blow, you know. So John Lennon sang this, and then Paul McCartney, I tell you, he left that kitten alone after that, I tell you.
Right,
the dog is Paul McCartney.
Out, right.
Richard Herring, top celebrities say no to drugs campaign.
Hello, I'm Tim Vine of Morning TV's Housemates fame. I don't take drugs. Appearing in Morning TV quiz shows that aren't very good and looking slightly embarrassed is better than any drug. Be like me, Tim Vine, and eschew drugs.
Mark Ratcliffe!
Tonight at 10, the golden boy of film criticism, Mark Kermode, is joined by the golden boy of shouting arse and making comedy farty noises, the boy Lard. Plus, great moments in cinema. Incredibly famous author of Generation X, Douglas Copeland, reads his new book, Microsurfs. Plus, a selection of fine records and costly discs, fine wines and spirits, and fine ales and stouts. All right, crap beer in a can, but you're not fussy when you're bladdered, eh? Get him in, our kids. See you at 10.
Mark Radcliffe, 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
And Gary's on the phone. What's your royal suggestion, Gary?
Change the royal family for vibrators.
Yes, goodbye, thank you.
no, that is a good idea.
Yeah, but can't really deal with that at any length here. Paul
they could go in the royal box, couldn't they?
Like, Paul Duggan of York rang in to say he'd like to see the royal family replaced by a giant pot noodle the size of Wales. Interestingly enough.
gorgeous.
Too gorgeous, isn't it? And Monica Wolfing of Cambridge has said she'd like to see them replaced by wiggly worms. Rich, you have a question for me?
Stu? Yes. You know all this talk we've had today about the Beatles?
Yeah.
I was wondering who they are, I don't know.
You don't know who the Beatles are?
No, I've never heard of them. Well, and you have to think, the Beatles are a band that weren't even alive when some of our younger listeners were born. I mean, what's all the fuss about?
Well, Rich, to help you and other young children understand, what we're going to do, we're going to take a listen to this week's edition of Sky TV's popular children's history TV programme, Histor's Eye.
Oh, good.
Oh, hello again, children. Hold on a minute. I'm just flying the jib. It's me, Histor. Sky TV's magic one-eyed pirate history crow. And welcome to Histor's Eye. Blinny, what on earth are you doing with that frying pan?
I'm frying the jib, Histor, like you said.
You half-wit. I said flying, not frying
thought.
That jib is ruined.
What is a jib, anyway? Why do we need
Shut
one?
Shut up.
All right, okay. What is the news, Histor, again?
Well, me hearty pirate crows, you may have seen on the grown-up news a lot of talk about the Beatles.
Mm, delicious. I love Beatles.
Not that kind of beetle, you dimwit.
My wing, my cloaca. Who are they anyway, Histor? I've never heard of them.
Well, to find the answer to that question, I have to use my magic historical eye to go all the way back to 1961.
Aye.
This one here. Come with me now, Pliny, as the crow flies. This is the ancient settlement of Liverpool, Pliny.
Mm.
Back in 1961, the inhabitants were little more than savages, living off what they could steal from caverns under the ground. Just like today. Look at all the lonely people.
Yes, where do they all come from?
They come from Liverpool, Pliny. Were you listening?
Hello, Histor. I hate the poor and love being rich. Ha, ha, ha.
Who is that man in all his finery there, Histor?
That is the evil Nazi German King of England, King Edward VIII. He's wicked. The whole of Britain is under his evil Nazi yoke.
His yoke? Ha, ha. Was he an egg, Histor? That must have been a sticky situation. How extraordinary.
Not that kind of yoke, bird brain.
Ah, my face.
Ah. I'll wing your neck. But look, who are these two men?
Hello. My name is Paul McCartney.
And I'm John Lennon. Would you like to form a band? We could call it the Beatles and go on to top the charts more than any group in the history of pop and create whole new genres of pop music.
Yeah, we could have funny hair.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mate. Overheard what you said there. I'm Ringo Starr and I write Thomas the Tank Engine books.
Oh, they're fab.
George!
But hearing you talking has made me realise that writing about trains with human faces is stupid and childish. I should be playing the drums and the Beatles and singing about being in an octopus's garden. That's better, that is.
Yeah, but hold on. We need someone to be the quiet one.
I'm George Harrison. I'm quiet.
Shh. All right. Let's see if we can make up a song.
Quite good.
Excuse me, boys. I am the evil Nazi King Edward VIII. Your music has made me realize that being a Nazi and suggesting my own countrymen should be blown up is wrong. Would you like to be kings in my place?
Yeah!
And so, the Beatles were crowned joint kings of England, and they brought peace to the planet Earth.
So where did it all go wrong, Histor?
Plenty. Because they began to experiment with the one thing that throughout history has destroyed all that is good and pure in the world.
What?
Love. Come with me and we shall see. Doug, John Lennon fell in love with the Queen of China, Yoko Ono.
Yoko, Histor? Was she an egg? That must have been a sticky situation. How extraordinary.
No, Pliny! Yoko!
Huh?
If I feather hear you making that joke again...
That yoke a hen? Is it an egg?
You shut up and listen to my history and what Yoko says.
Yoko.
Shut up.
Also, John writing music is a rubbish thing to do. You better be staying off in bed all the time sleeping, also.
Yes, Yoko, you are right.
Esther, wasn't Yokono Japanese? And you...
No, she was Chinese.
Your Oriental stereotyping is offensive to all right thinkers.
Quiet! Speak for I become irate.
Oh,
I
God
pirate, crow. And fly hither, look. Paul McCartney fell in love with Linda McCartney.
From now on, Paul, you're only allowed to eat vegetables, okay?
Oh, God! Linda McCartney!
And on his new diet, poor Paul was soon so weak, he could no longer lift a guitar and could only write songs about frogs.
Oh, dear, that's not very good, is it?
Oh, and see, look, George Harrison fell in love with Jeff Lynne from the ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra.
Hello, George. My name's Jeffrey. Would you like to appear in a new TV programme called Rainbow with me and my friends Bob Bungle Dylan and Roy Zippy Orbison and Tom Petty?
Yes, I would!
Shh! Hestor, I thought those rocking celebrities formed the Travelling Wilburys, a 1980s supergroup which included the rubbish Jeff Lynne only because it was his idea.
Shut up, Pliny, you egg, you young fry of treachery!
Egg! Hey, said egg!
Shush! Only Ringo managed to avoid the drug of love due to his high principles and his ugly face. And the fact he was drunk all the time. He has remained King of England to this day.
God save King Ringo. Thanks for telling me about the Beatles, Hestor.
That's right.
In return, I've corked your tea. A lovely fly-up. Fried eggs!
Oh, not eggs again, you numbskull crow!
Yes, looks like the yolk's on you!
Wait until I get my wings on you! Those are the eggs that my wife laid! You've murdered my unborn children! We are birds, remember?
Looks like I embryo you an apology!
Sky TV's Hestor's Eye there. Do you understand that now, Rich, the Beatles?
Yeah, it seems a lot more clear now those two crows have explained it.
Good. Coming up next is a track from an old 1988 John Peel session that only I remembered existing, and we had to get it off the archive, Radio 1 archive man, who was delighted to speak to a human being. This is the Pixies doing a song off the Beatles' White album, and it's called Wild Honey Pie.
Top celebrities say no to drugs campaign.
Hi, I'm Peter Bainham from BBC's topical comedy show Saturday Night Armistice, and I'm telling you to say no to drugs. Okay, I do have the occasional puff on a funny cigarette, obviously, but otherwise making wry observations on the week's events in a suit is enough to get me high. I did do acid once. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I was looking at this postcard, and the net curtains on the background just started moving. I mean, I wouldn't do it again in a hurry, but wow.
Well, that Peter Bain has really let me down on that. It's made drugs look quite interesting. That wasn't the point.
Yeah, you hate drugs.
I do. I think anyone who takes drugs is, you know, should evil. They should be banned. I hate anyone who takes drugs.
I think you're a hypocrite.
I'm not a hypocrite. You're addicted. You know, you take drugs and you're wrong.
Rich, heroin is a drug.
No,
and
it isn't.
It is, and you sit there all through every show, injecting yourself with heroin. It's a drug.
It's not a drug. It's a medicine. You don't eat it. You inject that in your arm. It's a class A drug, Rich. If it was a drug, there'd be a warning on the packet, wouldn't there? Health warning.
If it's not a drug and you're not addicted, then give it up, mate.
No, because I go all shaky and strange if I do
that. Exactly. Taking us out, last track of the show, this is Ringo Starr singing the song When You Wish Upon a Star.
Apt.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come. Your heart is in your dream. No request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind.
Telling me this crack I'm smoking's a drug.
Crack is a drug, Rich.
It is, and that's just not like the. It's like Eric Morecambe having a bit of drugs.
When you wish upon a star, your dream.
He's a good singer, isn't he, Ringo Starr? And we decided the winner has got to be Howard, who had the old Frank Bruno and decaying body of Rudolph Valentino and everything. So remember, you've won there the CDs and all that rubbish stuff that is available in the shops or anywhere else. An ideal Xmas gift for a friend, elderly relative, or enemy. The book's got a picture of a naked man and a naked woman in as well.
Yeah. Just time to credit the show. The show this week was performed by Stuart Lee, Richard Herring, Peter Bainham, Kevin Eldon, and Veronica stroke Ronnie Ancona, with additional material for Mr. Bainham by Sally Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And it was produced by the glasses wearing producer, as he is known amongst Lone Entertainment, Mr. Chris Neal.
The bare ass naked, the people in it, you can see everything. Mm, their crazy asses, everything, the lot.
Fade is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a boat. Steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dream comes true.
That's the singing Ringo Starr there on the Lee and Herring Show you've been listening to, and we're the show that welcomes today listeners, like
today readers.
So do listen to us if you read today. And I'd just like to say to Louise from Eternal, please don't marry that bloke. Marry me. I know you're not in Eternal anymore, but please marry me. I love you. Do you understand?
Thanks for listening. It's been Beatles Week, and goodbye.
Goodbye. Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffan.net.